Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're going international.
I know. Again. I love it.
And always a delight to check in with our missionaries when they're here in the building and hear their story, hear about what they're up to. Joining us in studio today, we have the Schumachers, the Reverend Stephen and Cynthia Schumacher, serving the Lord in Ghana and here at the International Center to share their story with us today. Good morning, Schumachers. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us in studio and coming to share your story about serving the Lord in Ghana. Tell us a little bit about the Schumachers and what led you to this vocation as missionaries, this path to becoming missionaries.
Well, my wife and I, we have served in the Lutheran Church for many years. I've served as a parish pastor for 22 years, and since then, for the last 8 years, I've been serving a specific ministry, a nonprofit organization, but also teaching theology and also deaf ministry. My wife has been a school teacher, a Lutheran school teacher for, well, I won't tell you how many years. And but just a few, let's put it that way. But my interest in the mission field began when I was in first grade as a Sunday school student at St. Paul's Lutheran School in Concordia, Missouri, my hometown. And we had a missionary from Africa who came to visit. He gave a presentation unlike what we do today. He actually brought spears and different kinds of wooden bowls and things of that sorts. And it piqued my interest. And from then on, my interest had always been to be a pastor and a missionary to Africa. I did go to the prep school in Concordia. That's where I met Cindy. And from there, I took a little detour. I had a professor who said, you should try something in math. And so I said, let's see, 8 years of college and seminary versus 4 years. You know, when you're 17, 18, 4 years sounds a lot better. So I did. I took the scenic route to the seminary as a second career. I worked as a industrial design engineer for 5 years and then went to the seminary. And from there, as I was graduating and being placed, they asked if I would go and serve in the Philippines, to which I agreed. However, my wife did not agree. And I saw her point. Our children would have had to go to a residential school away from home at that time. And so our children were too young, and, you know, we didn't want to send them off to go to school at that time. So through the years, I've done mission work in the States in deaf ministry, where I served in northern Wisconsin as a missionary to the deaf, traveling up 3,500 miles a month between my preaching stations. And then through the nonprofit organization, traveled to Eastern Siberia, Europe and Asia and Africa, in which to find ways and research ways to help them develop ministry, particularly to the deaf.
Wow, that is quite the story.
Yeah.
what is your work in Ghana that you're able to do now?
I serve as the academic dean of the Lutheran Seminary of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana, teaching all sorts of classes, as we are limited on professors. So it's what's up next, you know. It's that's what we prepare for. And I also assist the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana with their deaf ministry program, where I go usually every Sunday to either a school called House of Grace or to the village of Adamarobe, where it's a predominantly deaf village, and lead worship and assist our deaf evangelist, who is deaf himself, but he is in the process of becoming ordained through pastoral formation at the seminary in a special intensive program for him and another student.
Cynthia, what is your life like in Ghana? Who are you able to interact with, and what do you spend your time doing?
I believe about 2 years ago, as they were assessing the students at the seminary, many of them come from the north and need some extra encouragement in English. So I have been working with comprehension, writing skills, supporting the students in that. And along with that, on Sunday morning, they have started a mission at the seminary, And we have 30, 35 who come, and about 30 of them are children. Mm-hmm. So after worship, I have a Sunday school class, like the old one-room school, mm-hmm. where I have ages 4 to 18 in one Sunday school class. And so a couple of the little ones, Ferguson and Donald, are my favorites because they always want to come and sit on my lap through church. And then I teach Sunday school to the children after worship.
You mentioned Ferguson and Donald. Who are others who you've had who are the other people that you've had a chance to connect with and who've made life in Ghana and Accra special for you?
We have a night guard, Patrick, who is between the ages of our sons, so he's become my Ghanaian son. Mm-hmm. And my husband is busy teaching much, and it's not really safe for me to go to market or go into Accra by myself. So he drives me. And it's been interesting. I've had to give up my independence because I never push a cart in a grocery store anymore. I always have someone pushing it for me and driving with me. The other family that has become close to us is a young boy by the name of Godwin, who comes and takes care of our grass and yards, and in return he gets enough money to travel to and from school and buy his lunches. And my husband has been doing confirmation type study with him and taught him because he asked to be baptized. So he was baptized the Sunday before we left to come to the U.S., and when we go back, he'll continue toward confirmation. But he has two sisters named Gifty and Happy, and they come to Sunday school. And Gifty is just a sweetheart. She just was suffering with malaria a couple mm-hmm. weeks before we came, and broke my heart to watch the tears come down her eyes because of the malaria and the illness. But we've connected with a lot of families, Patrick's family also, and it's good.
No, I saw you at signing.
You weren't supposed
caught
to tell
that. Anybody. Caught that. It's very useful when you're on the radio, actually.
Yeah, it sure is.
But you know that we've talked about deaf ministry before, yeah. And ASL in the United States doesn't necessarily translate to sign language in a different country. Was there a bit of a learning curve learning to do deaf ministry in Africa?
Well, previously, before joining OIM and as a missionary, I had served in Kenya on short-term mission trips, as well as also Ghana. So I've been familiar a little bit with the sign language of Kenya as well as in Ghana. The Ghana sign language is based upon ASL. Many of the Western African sign languages are. There are roughly 250 different sign languages in the world. There is a universal one, but many of the deaf do not use it. It was more designed for the global traveler. You know, but yes, I'm still getting used to the Ghanaian Sign Language, although built on ASL. There are cultural differences for foods and different things. But the one that is most difficult is in Adamarobe, the village. They have their own sign language, and it's not based on ASL. Mm. Trying to determine what that base language is very difficult because it's very culturalized, very contextualized within their culture. So and living more with them, around them, being with them, I'm learning bits and pieces as we go.
And when he signs for worship on Sunday morning in Adamarobe, the deaf evangelist actually will interpret it into Adamarobe sign so that they are sure that the deaf gets it. So he'll sign Ghanaian Sign Language the best he knows, and then Agrafo will translate it into Adamarobe sign.
Wow.
So you have two forms of ASL.
Yes.
Americans awesome. And Adamarobe. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
That's fascinating. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I would too.
We'll send you a video.
That would be great.
I'll share it.
We'll close caption it for you so you can know what's going on.
I can follow the ASL, the American sign. I can follow that. I've studied that. But wow, that would be fascinating to see.
Really cool.
We just have a minute left. Will you, during your reconnect here, are you going to be traveling around the U.S. some, or do you head right back?
We have been in the States for a little bit, and we have been making our travels. We've been out to Maine, to Waterville and Bangor, to Connecticut, to New Hampshire. We've been to Iowa. We've been to parts of Illinois and Indiana and Michigan. And we do have about a month left on our time. We do have places where we will be going. We'll be going up to Wisconsin, in fact, to the Concordia Catechetical Academy, where I will be giving an essay at the symposium later this week. So we do have a couple other stops along the way.
Outstanding. How can we follow your story, keep up with what the work that the Lord has you doing in Ghana?
Through our newsletters. We send out 10 newsletters in a year. We combine May, June, July, and August. But other than that, we do a monthly newsletters. And they are available through OIM. And if you would like to make contact with us, please, you know, email us at Cynthia, C-Y-N-I-T-H-I-A, .Schumacher, @lcmsintl.org. And my lovely wife would be happy to put you on our email list for our monthly newsletters.
We'll put that link with the program notes today. Schumachers, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
In 1752, the Pennsylvania State Assembly ordered a steeple bell for the State House to include the inscription proclaiming liberty throughout all the land. The Liberty Bell at Philadelphia's Independence Hall has become an icon of American history and independence.
But did you know, in 2013, the Providence Forum commissioned a full-scale replica of the famed Liberty Bell for Museum of the Bible? It stands 6 feet tall and weighs 3,200 pounds. And the pealing of the bell is in E-flat, the same key as its original. The Liberty Bell became the first exhibit to be installed at Museum of the Bible in 2017.
Emblazoned on the Liberty Bell are the same words that appear on the original from Leviticus 25:10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.